Blog Talk Radio.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city of Orlando, Florida, city of sunshine, palm trees blowing in the wind. Ah, beautiful, beautiful. Wish you were here. Yes, yes, yes. So glad to be with you, you and you again today. Praying that your new year was excellent. Your New Year's Eve was safe. And you didn't make no resolutions that you don't keep. Yes, yes, yes. But we thank God for this year that we are beginning right about now. Yes, yes, yes. And we trust in that it be blessed beyond blessed. Ah, yes, and everything that you have desired shall come to pass. And we thank God for it today. We really do. Praise God. Amen. We had a wonderful New Year's Eve. Yes, we did. We had a very wonderful New Year's Eve. A wonderful first Sunday, New Year's first Sunday. We had a wonderful time at that time, too. God poured his spirit out upon us, and we're so happy about that. And we are happy about yours, too. So give us a call today. Talk to us today at 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. Let us know about your New Year's, the New Year's Eve, or what you expect in New Year's. We'll listen to that, too, and all on how God has blessed you. And I know you got lots of gifts on Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yes, I believe you did. And you're a happy camper today, aren't you? Praise God, praise God. It's so good to be with you today. I count it a privilege. You know, God allowed me to enter into this new year. I tell you, it's a blessing. Yes, and you know, because you could not have made it. Think about how many people that didn't make it, you know. And those are your loved ones. Some of your loved ones might have not made it into the new year. But thank God they're in a new place, you know. Praise God. Thank God for that. All right, we send you love and hugs. Yes, we do. Everyone here sends you lots of love and hugs. So grab a hold of it right now. Just let us squeeze you tight. Praise God. Hallelujah. We still enjoying Jesus, man. We are still enjoying Jesus. We know some of you had to go back to work. Mm-hmm. Some of you had to go back to work. Some of you not. You know, and you're there. We thank God for you being there today. I know it's a little nippy out, and you want to stay under the covers. God, I know how that is. I did too, but I know I had to get up. God is good. Hallelujah. I can't do without him. I don't know about you, but I can't do without him. All right, today we are praying for Daniel. I don't know his last name. I think he's Italian or another. But he's the brother of Mr. Jordan, the school teacher there in Zellwood, wants to pray for him. He's ill. Father God, in Jesus' name, we send the word to Daniel right now, Lord, whatever the condition is and wherever he's at this moment. We pray for him today, God, for his healing, healing of his body, healing of his mind and his spirit. In the name of Jesus, and we thank you for it right now, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for Patsy Merchant. We pray for her today, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Touch her body right now, Lord God. Oh, God, refresh her right now that what the doctors say is not the final word, that God has the final word. Father, in Jesus' name, touch her right now. In Jesus' name, make her every bit whole. Father, we ask you to touch Michael Simpson today, God. Touch Michael Simpson. Yes, Lord, and touch Michael with it also. Got all these Michaels. Both going to have a court date. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch them right now, God. Give them favor today, Father. Give both them favor right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and we thank you. Father, we ask you to touch Gary Dunkley, Lord. Touch him today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Touch him right now, God. Touch his body. Touch his mind, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for it right now, Lord. Lord, we thank you for touching Lord Mitchell today, God. We thanking you for touching him and his wife, Vivian Mitchell, both who are sick, Lord, and recovering, got out of the hospital. Touch both of them right now in the name of Jesus. Speak to their hearts, speak to their bodies in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, God. Lord, we thank you for Chelsea Tinney coming out of the surgery. Well, Lord, we thank you for that. She's in recovery, at home in recovery now. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, God. We give you praise and honor for what you're doing in these people's lives, Father. God, and we ask you to continue to touch the Pringle family. Bishop Pringle is in the hospital, Lord. I don't know if he knows his wife is, you know, died and buried and all yet or not, but he was in a coma. But Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you, Lord God, to raise him up, God, as a testimony of the goodness of God. In Jesus' name, touch his family also, and we thank you for that today, God. We thank you, Lord God, for touching Claire Curry. In the name of Jesus, God, touch her wherever she is at this time, Father. We're waiting for news from her. Father God, in Jesus' name, have mercy. Father, we ask you to touch Tanya Joseph, Father, who's in a coma, Lord, and she's in a semi-coma now. Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch her in Jesus' name. Touch Jim Benbow, Father, that needs a kidney. Touch him there in New York, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, make a way right now for him, God. Oh, Lord, you're able, Lord. Nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Touch Sarah, Father God, who's at a point of depression, deep depression. Touch her, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, God. Touch Deacon Williams, Father. Touch his body, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we be so careful to give your name to praise for touching all these that are sick and suffering, the pastors and all that are going through, God, those ones that, you know, Lord, are having difficulties and all kind of chaotic situations. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch them and deliver them today in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you for it right now, Holy Father. Lord, I just thank you anyhow. You know, there's so much going on today. The enemy is on the rampage, you know. And he don't care who he bother. He don't care who he mess with. And you know that the thing is, he gets in people's minds, you know, and that's where he worked with them. And some of the things are just their imagination or some figment of the imagination, as it said. And then sometime again, it's a real thing, you know, praise God. But they allow these things to begin to ferment in their mind, and it does something. It changes their personality, and next thing you know, they don't holler, won't nothing to do with God or his people, you know. And stuff. They feel like they're their own God, you know. And all it is a figment of your imagination. It's not real. And you need to get it together because this is no time. We have entered into this year, and this year promises a lot of ugly things happening. Praise God. And you know, you can't even imagine just how crazy stuff is about to get, even more than it was this past year. And you fooling around. You know, we can't fool around no more. You know, the church world is fooling around. And, you know, we need to come together and lean on each other in prayer, in fasting, in supplications. This is what we need to do, you know, today. Not you over here and you over there. It ain't no man an island and you can't get nothing done by yourself. You need somebody with anything you do in this world. You need somebody with you. That's why God got all us here. You know, praise God. But, you know, I ain't fussing. All I'm just saying, you know, praise God. Amen. Just talking. Because this is time to talk about it, this is the time to talk about it, don't you think?
Amen.
All right, now I'm going to give you a little something, a little cute little something. I thought it was cute, and it's a little longer than what I usually give you, okay? And it says this: regardless of age, you are still young at heart as long as you exclaim, wow, instead of what's the use. When you say hot dog instead of oh well. When you yell yippee instead of so what. When you contend everyone's important instead of you can't fight City Hall. When you insist folks are swell instead of you can't trust people anymore. When you greet others with what a great day to be alive instead of oh-hum. When you believe things are looking up instead of the world is shot to pieces. When you proclaim what an opportunity instead of what a predicament. Hallelujah, Jesus. Y'all don't want me to read that no more.
Wow.
Praise God. I'm stopping there today. Hallelujah. Because that speaks for itself today. Which one are you doing today? All right. Which one are you doing? Well, we want to thank God for Deacon Mike being with us. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank God for him. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Hello, Deacon Mike. Uh-oh. He sound like he's asleep, don't he? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you know this is the kind of weather that you do want to sleep, don't it? Ain't it? When the weather gets, you know, cloudy and raining, you know, and stuff, you do really want to, you feel like sleeping, you know. Why is that? What about it? Is it just because it's not sunny and bright? Is why you feel like you know, want to go to sleep? Is that the case? It might be, huh? Well, anyway, praise God. I tell you, we still thank God. You can still call at 347-857-3925, 347-857-3925. We still have the lines open for you to praise God for what he has done or is doing or what you believe he's about to do in your life this year, what you're expecting him or wanting him, desiring him to do. You know, it's up to you. What are you looking for this coming year? You want the same type of year you had last year, or you want something different? You're looking for things to escalate in your life, you know, go up better. That's what you're looking for, the better this year, aren't you? I know you are. Praise God. So why not just call us at 347-857-3925? You can do that today, can you not? All right. I'm waiting for you. Now, don't wait till the last minute you decide you want to call. Now, you know, when we going off the air, you want to call. All of that. Let's don't do that. Just give you time to say what you got to say. That's all, you know. Tell the goodness of Jesus, you know, because he is good and you still here. If you still here, he good. Now, if you ain't here, we can't account for that now, right? We can't do nothing about that. Well, anyway, praise God, we going on just the same, you know. Praise the Lord. I tell you, I'm refined now because of I see things a little bit differently than I saw last year. Yes, indeed, I do see things a little differently. Well, now, let's go into the scriptures today, praise the Lord, and let's just talk about something. We're going to start with the 26th chapter is where we are today. But here is Paul now. Here he is talking to King Agrippa. Now, he says, this is what he said. We're going to start the 19th verse. He told what Jesus did for him in the preceding verses. But we're going to start here. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but show first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said, with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, because learning to make thee mad. You just got too much brains, huh? Somebody ever told you that you got too much sense? But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. But now you know Paul. Now see Paul being used greatly by God, because he knew something was going on in the king's heart, you see. He says, I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. My. Now, we're going to talk about that today, that Agrippa almost believed, He almost believed. He was almost persuaded, What does persuade mean, What do you think persuade means? And it really means to cause someone to do something, you know, from what you said when you entreated them. Or better still say, to win them over. To win someone over. You have taken some action. You have tried to reason with people. Okay? But they're still not persuaded to come over to the Lord's side. Do you have people in your family like that?
Hmm?
You know they are harming themselves. You know the only way they're going to have peace is through Jesus Christ. You know they need the Lord because their body is racked with pain, too. They need the Lord also. You know all these things, and you study, be trying. How do you persuade them to come over on the Lord's side? Hmm? How do you convince them to do this? Hmm? See, it seems like a hassle today to try to get people to believe, to turn their life over. But see, when Paul began to talk to them, he was on his way to trial. He was on his way to trial. See, he had a court date. You see what I'm saying? So, see, what is he doing even though he's in a dilemma himself, but he's in a dilemma because he wanted to be in that dilemma? You get what I'm saying? When you read the story, you find out that Paul could have had another way to go when they told him not to go that way. He went that way. He said, I must need to go. I have to go. Things that I have to say, people I've got to touch their lives. In other words, if I don't do it, I'm going to try. See, you have to find out what position are you in today? Are you in a position to go where you need to go and do what you need to do and be what you need to be in order to convince somebody to come into the kingdom of God? To give up their old way of living, the rowdy way, violent way, to give up that way and for the way of Christ. Can you convince them? Can you make them believe what you're saying? See, Paul talked to them, and when he was talking to the king, you know, and everything, told them about his testimony. See, our problem is if we don't want to tell nobody how God saved us and delivered us and set us free and everything, we can't convince them of nothing. You know, they say, well, you just don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've gone through already. You don't know how they have hurt me. But I believe when you tell them, see, the whole thing is people don't understand about your testimony. They don't understand that you telling them, I've been there, done that, tried it all, and it wasn't anything, but now I'm persuaded that Jesus Christ is the center of my joy. You see what I'm saying? We don't take time to do that because we don't want nobody to know that we was once raggedy. We had a raggedy life. You want people to think you were born saved. You see people today, they don't, oh, no, that's past. It is past. It's true. But God has allotted you some time to tell certain people to confess it, to tell them about your testimony, where God has brought you from in order to get them out.
Amen.
Now, suppose somebody was a prostitute on the corner, up and down the road, up and down, in and out people's cars, the houses, or wherever, any flop houses, the flea bag houses, whatever they was in. And God brought them out and brought them deliverance to their life. They see what they have gone through, how miserable they were, so they're going to go back to some of those same prostitutes out there that they left out there and tell them what God done for them. Do you get the picture? Who better? I couldn't tell them if I ain't been out there. I ain't been on the street. Okay? Now, I ain't say I was perfect. I wasn't born perfect. Because the Bible said that I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So I know I wasn't born perfect and you wasn't either. But when God has brought you from such a place as you've been in and the things that you had done, you don't have to give them every detail now. Let's be real. You don't have to go into so much detail. Just tell the best part, the important part that's going to help them. and how God brought you out. Don't forget that part. You say, I've been in this, and I've done this and that and the other, but God brought me out. And then you begin to tell them how God brought you out. See, you will be more persuasive in that way than you just trying to be holy all the time, holy than thou. You get the picture? Y'all get the picture, don't you? You see what I'm talking about? See? Persuaded. See, what would the king say? You almost persuade me to become a Christian. You talk so, it was so convincing. And I am here to believe today that we have a problem with witnessing to people because we cannot convince people that Jesus is real. Huh? And I heard some communist people had put out a statement one time, long time ago, that we Christians don't make what we believe believable. And when you hear them and not wanting them, they're not wanting to tell people about Jesus, not wanting to be that witness and live the life too, let me tell you, you cannot convince anybody if you live in a raggedy life. Nobody's going to say they almost persuaded to be a Christian. And they're not going to say it if you ain't living nothing. They're watching your life, and you cannot show them that this is the life and you can live it. First, no, so you let them know I'm not perfect. We're not perfect.
No, we're not.
We're not sinning, but we make mistakes. We have a few faults that we are working on a daily basis. You get it? And you convince them that, yes, you may make a mistake now and then, but you don't have to go back where you came from.
I know you're right.
Huh? Because the Bible says, forget those things that are behind and press toward the mark of the high calling, which is in Jesus Christ. This is where you're supposed to be headed. You know, you're going to have some setbacks, and don't let your setback go take you all the way back. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let your setback be a way to set up a way to go forward. Huh? Hello, somebody. All right. Glory to God. See, you want people to change their course of action, the actions that they take. But can you be convincing enough that you believe in Jesus Christ? Can you convince the people that you talk to that you must be born again, washed in the blood, you know, baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? Can you convince them that you are there already? Huh? Can you convince them? Or are you steady, not showing anything, but you're talking a good game, but you ain't living there? Ah, my. Hallelujah. Are you there? So people need to believe something today because, like the little saying I read to you today, what one of them things you saying? Huh? You done got there and you so down and out and you don't believe nothing. You have no hope and there's no light in you and there's no God in you or anything. And so all you doing is talking negative stuff all the time. You need to stop talking it all the time. Realize, look into your own self and say, oh, my God, I'm being negative so much, too much, too much. No wonder I can't get nowhere. No wonder I can't get out the doghouse. Huh? See? I am not convinced. You ain't convinced. How are you going to convince somebody else? Huh? There is no persuasion. There's no persuasion in you in order to persuade somebody else. Now listen what Paul said when we was reading 26th verse. This is what he said: for the king knoweth of these things before whom also I speak freely. He said, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. In other words, listen, I know God done spoke to you. I am persuaded that God has been dealing with you, working with you all this time, but you still have not come to realize that he is the king. King of Kings. He is the God of peace. He is your provider. He is your source, and so on. See, he was persuaded that God, if God was talking to him, Saul, he was talking to the king too. So you can tell he had been dealing with the king. Oh, Agrippa, God was dealing with him, but he just didn't want to give up. Is that the way you are? God is dealing with you, so your testimony would be a light into somebody else that they can all together be persuaded to be a Christian, to be Christ-like. Let's not use that word. Be Christ-like and live that life, huh? Are you persuaded yet? Have you caused anyone to change their lifestyle? What is persuaded means, huh? Change from one lifestyle to another, the way you feel, your opinion. Make a change here. Huh? And when you do it, you got to be very effective. You can't do it half-stepping. If you ain't living nothing, then they can spot your life. If somebody can spot your life, Lord knows how, my God. Now, we ain't talking about the lies somebody say. We talking about you know exactly how you live. King Agrippa knew exactly how he lived. He knew what he was thinking, and God knew what he was thinking. He knew he thought about it. Oh, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like something I really would like to try. But because of people, what people say, because of what my family say, see, we're going to let our family cause us to go to hell. He was about the opinion of others. See, that's why he was almost persuaded, because he was too busy looking at what somebody else said or what they will say. Or maybe they'll put me out of my position or something. I'll lose my job. Well, you need to lose your job. If you ain't preaching Christ up in that job, you ain't living Christ, then you need to lose it. Now, you say, why you say that? That's hard. No, it ain't hard. It's just a fact of life. Praise God. You are not persuaded enough to stand for God. You're not persuaded enough to stand when it looks like there ain't nothing to stand on. Do you get the picture? Huh? Are you persuaded enough yet? Huh? To start saying hallelujah in the midst of your trial when it looked like everything is going down but the word of God? Can you still stand on the word when it looked like ain't nothing there to stand on? But you can say, this is what I believe. I believe. Because Paul knew that Agrippa believed, you know. He said, I know you believe. But how far are you going to take your belief, huh? Can you take it to the limits all the way, huh? Can you be 100% Jesus Christ? Can you give your all to him, your all? That means you and your substance, your family and everything that around your car, your house, your clothes, your diamonds, your food, everything, you give it to Jesus, huh? Because he say, I'm not the finisher of your faith, huh? I started it and I can finish it, but you got to allow me to. You got to be persuaded that I am Alpha and Omega. I am your all in all. Are you persuaded yet? To give up and give it to God? Stop living in your own reason. See, you live in your own reason. Get out of your own reasoning. Get on somebody else. Get in Jesus. Those who God put around you that's trying to promote you to trusting more in God. Give your all to God. Stop talking about, well, you know, I had to do so and so. I ain't did nothing. But the I am do. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference. When you are persuaded, you know who the I am in your life is. And then he controls your tomorrows. He controls everything about you, in you, around you. Anything you can think, he's in control. But you got to give way to the control. Believe enough, trust enough, and convince that he has everything in control. Can you do that today? Can you? That's all I want to know. Can you? Then when you can do that, you are more effective in everything that you do. You are more effective in your walk in Christ Jesus. And when you walk, nobody sees anything but light. Huh? Not what you try to portray. We will turn on a lamp that has a dark light shade, a lampshade on it, and it make it dark inside, but it got an impression of light. We want to turn that on, that we are an impression of light, because the shade has been painted black. Hello, sir. Are you persuaded yet? Are you persuaded? Can you change other people's lives by your life? Being nice, not being attitudish and all this stuff. Can you change other people's lives? You can't change people's lives if you got an attitude all the time. You want people to love you. You want people to love you, and every time you see you mad, mean, and looking ugly, who are you going to change? You ain't changed. You still pouting and mad and everything just like you was a long time ago. So how are you going to change anybody? How are you going to be an effective witness? How are you going to convince anybody to come over on the Lord's side? It's like I used to tell one person in church one time. I tell them, I say, if you keep talking about the church and running it down, the church, the pastor, and everybody in there, and then going to tell somebody, we having a revival, come over here. I wouldn't come with you either. See? Because you're not a persuasive person by your lifestyle and your tongue. Now, if you're going to put the pastor down, then you want somebody to visit. Do you make sense? Come on now. Just be real. That don't make no kind of sense whatsoever. It's like if you got a husband or wife, vice versa, whichever way, and if in the house you don't live worth a nothing, you don't live no Christ life, you're cussing every time you turn around, you're mad and nothing is right, and you're criticizing, complaining, and whining all the time, how are you going to get that person to Christ? Your husband or wife, how you going to get them there? And every time you look, you're talking about the preacher and you're talking about the members in there and this here and that there and all this stuff. Who in the world going to come to Christ when you finish all that? If I didn't know Christ now and I heard all that, I wouldn't either. Tell you the God-hand truth, I wouldn't. So I say, if that's the way it goes, I don't need to be there. I'm doing all right where I am. And I know that's what some of these people are saying. I might as well stay where I am because y'all don't seem to be getting along. Come on now. You have not been persuaded enough to remember that Christ wants us to get along, to work together as what? One. And somebody outside see you acting up, and I'm by myself, you know. I don't need nobody else. I hate to hear that. Well, I don't need nobody but God. Okay, you don't need nobody but God. Well, how you going to know the truth if you don't hear from the people that God has here to bring you the truth? You're not going to still get nowhere. You're going to be one of them ones that done lost all your joy, your goodness, your happiness, and all of your juice gone. You can't persuade yourself. How you going to persuade somebody else? Come on now, think about it. Paul persuaded himself. When he heard the word, he gave up his life for Christ's life. And when he went about talking to people, great people and small people, little people, big people, when he began to talk about them, he told them about how Christ changed his life. Do you have a testimony that can persuade people to come to Christ? Even much, let's put it this way. Let's bring it down here. To come to your church, where you church at. Huh? Some people, I think, they just don't like their church. I don't know why they don't like their church. Don't make no sense. They there, so why, you know, it don't make sense to me. I just ain't got that yet. Maybe I'm missing something here. You see? But when I got something good, I like to share it. Everything but my husband.
Come on now. Come on now.
Let's put it that way. We ain't sharing that now. I ain't into that share. But when it come down to Jesus, the man Jesus, now him I'll share. Now I share that with you. Oh, yes, because I want you to have and feel just what I feel. I want you to feel the goodness of Jesus in your life and, oh, how he moves for you and make ways out of nowhere for you. All the good things that happen to you when the bad things begin to happen, Jesus is there to bring in some good. And he do it every time. Oh, Lord, I just thank God all one more time. Hallelujah, Jesus, huh? Because I'm convinced today. I've already been persuaded, huh? Tell them the truth about God is where God brought you from. You know, find a person that done been through hell and high water just like you have and begin to tell them how God brought you out. You know you was in a bad condition. You was doing some bad things. Tell them about it. Say, let me tell you, honey, it ain't going to work like you're going now. Let me tell you a little story of how Jesus brought me out. Brought me through. And tell them about the story. Don't give them the details now. Keep the details to yourself, because the details is too ugly. Just tell them, huh? Jesus did for you. Oh, my God, my God. You know God is good. We're going to call in and let Deacon Mike say something here. But listen here, be persuaded today, will you? Be persuaded to tell somebody about Jesus Christ and what he can do for you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank Apostle for that word. But being persuasive, you know, we do have to be persuasive these days if we want to bring somebody to the kingdom along with us. Let's put it to you that way. If you want to bring somebody along with you, that's family members, friends, whoever. If you want to bring someone along with you, we have to learn to be persuasive. We have to learn how we can get to these people and talk to them and get them to come unto the kingdom, come in the kingdom of heaven, come into the kingdom of God. And, you know, these days people got so many, distractions.
Yeah.
That are going on in their lives today with all their electronic gadgets and this and that, you know, and Facebook and Twitter and live streaming and all of this they got going on now. You know, we have to think. And video games, you know, I can't say the kids in the video games because there's a lot of grown folks playing it too. You know, so we have to look at all of this. They can't back up off the video games. It's like they're addicted to that. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, it's all in the same things. And, you know, people try to do things, and they can't get things done because they got to understand God is in their lives, whether they want to believe it or not, because God is the one that woke us up this morning. You know, whether you want to believe it or not. But God is there. He's with us, you know. And I was listening to Apostle when she said, let me get this right, when she said about people doing things and trying to get in order with God. And I was thinking that I had just said on Monday and last week about I call this the year of the testimony. Because how can you get people to Christ if they don't know who you are? If they don't know where you came from, where God brought you from? Because a lot of times your testimony will bring people in too, because what you're showing, what you're telling them is, I've been through what you've been through, and God brought me out. And you see, a lot of people don't want, they think they're in this by themselves, that they're all alone, that no one else has the same problem as they have, or no one else has been through this or that. You know, because someone always have been through what you've been through. You know, when God said there's nothing new under the sun, someone has always been through what you've been through. I give you the perfect example. I looked at this last night where they showed side by side George Wallace from 1968 when he was running for president, and they showed Donald Trump. Do you know that what Donald Trump was saying, they was talking about this is all new ground, what he's doing and stuff now? Would you know back in 1968 that George Wallace did the same thing? He was talking the same craziness. And you see all these things, and I'm saying, wow, that's really weird, you know, because it's exactly the same. It's how George Wallace did the press and the reporters and stuff, and the same as Donald Trump doing them, pointing them out, and therefore the crowd is angry and want to beat the people up. They whipped all these crowds up into a frenzy to where they want to get violent with others who don't agree with them. Same thing. And, you know, and don't forget, when George Wallace stood in front of the school not to let the blacks in at the time, what do you think that Donald Trump is doing talking about building a wall? What do you think he's talking about and let's not let none of the Muslims in the country and things of that nature? Same thing. He's playing the prejudice card, keeping people away from this and that. And, you know, we can't do that. If we're going to be good Christian, God-fearing people, we got to love everybody. We got to learn to love everybody. You know, and I was telling the bishop this morning about the Mormon church denouncing this man from because they're taking over that the thing out there in Oregon, the preserve. And the man doing it under the name of the Mormon church at first, but the Mormons denounced him. So the reporter told the lady who represent the Mormon church, isn't that the same way that they're doing the Muslims? She said, yeah, and it don't feel good. Because the representation of the Mormons making it look bad on all the Mormons on what they're doing. The same thing if we're God-fearing people. We get out there and do all this crazy stuff all willy-nilly and all this dumb stuff, you know, with these people in positions in churches messing with children and all this. It makes it look bad on everybody in the particular realm that we're in. It makes us all look bad. So when you're out there representing Christ, put your best foot forward. Don't fall into all these traps that the devil have for you, because there are traps. There are pitfalls. It's things out there waiting. It's just like stepping in a bad trap, chopping you up, because the devil will eat you up if you allow it to happen. If you allow these things to happen to you, to discourage you, you know, we got to stand tall, and we got to represent to the best of our ability. We got to learn that love does cover a multitude of sins. But we got to understand love also helps us out of a lot of sins, if we let it. If we understand that God, that, put it this way, that Jesus signified love, especially when he died for each one of us on the cross. We got to understand, when he died for our sins, And God sacrificed his only son for the sake of us. Now, can we do the same? I mean, I was listening to the president talk yesterday about how this young man, 15 years old, it was gunfire, and he jumped over top of three girls. And he got shot in the head, but he saved the three girls. You understand? 15 years old, he did this. Had his whole life ahead of him. But don't you think that's an act of love? That's an act of chivalry, some people would say. But that shows you that he valued life. And he sacrificed his own life to save others. Can we sacrifice what we have to save others? Can we give and sacrifice our testimony to give people, to save other people? We can do that, and that's the same thing as saving lives. We're saving people from going through the pitfalls. We're saving people from falling into the money grub and all of that because we've been through all these things. Some of us older people can express what we've been through back in the days and the time. I mean, young people don't want to hear it, you know. And I think about it sometime when we were young, we didn't want to hear it either. You know, but we learned over time that they were right. You know, it's the same thing that goes on today. You know, we can talk till our heads fall off, and they ain't going to listen until they fall into it themselves. And that's what it's all about. But at least you tried. At least you got it off you, especially when you give somebody your testimony about where you've been, where have you came from, how the Lord has brought you out. Once you give that, you're fine. Listen. We need to learn to give our testimonies whenever we can. We can save a lot of people that way. You know, we can understand that we can do a lot with less. You really don't have to say too much, but Jesus loves you. No. You never know how that brings people out or what that does. You know, we can do this. But we got to allow the Spirit to lead us in a lot of things, too, instead of shutting the Spirit out. You know, I was thinking about when Apostle was talking about first Sunday service, how the Lord moved, how the Spirit moved in the service. For the first Sunday, that felt pretty good. You know, you'd be wanting every Sunday to be like that. You know, moving, jumping, shouting, listening, getting in the Word really good. I mean, it was good. You know, then you wish every Sunday was like that, but then you got people who come in church and drag everybody down with them. You know, we got to learn that we got to keep these things up. You know, but you know, I was thinking, how can we overcome somebody coming in the door dragging? How can we overcome that? You know, so the Diane say prayer, you know, but that's true. You know, prayer and stuff like that, you just got to have tunnel vision. You know, you got to have, you got to stay concentrated on the Spirit, so therefore we can all override that. You know, and it sounds simple, but it's not. You know, we got to deal with these things. There's a lot of things that we have to deal with. We have to be persistent and persuasive in what we do and how we represent God. We got to learn how to deal with these things. We got to learn about the different situations and things that we have to go through in this day and time, because this time is so distractive, and it's also a destructive time in our lives and everybody's lives. And I was listening to the weatherman today, and they say in the next couple of months we're going to be susceptible to a lot of tornadoes. And I'm saying, well, if we ain't got the tornadoes, we got the hurricanes, you know. So it really doesn't matter. As long as we stay prayed up and let God deliver us from these things, let God always take care of us. But we got to believe. We got to have faith in him that this this will happen, and we will be taken care of. But we have to have the faith and the belief to do it. And that's what I'm saying today. And here's Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That is an awesome word coming from Apostle Porter and Deacon Michael. Are you being persuaded? What are you doing today to be, you know, to persuade someone, you know, to come into the knowledge of Christ, to follow Christ, you know? God always placed people around you that going through what you have been through. It's just for us to recognize and open our mouth and just talk. Let them know, hey, I've been there. You know, God helped me through this. So it's just know that God is love, and being able to persuade someone is just giving them your testimony and what you've been through, and not ashamed of where you came from. Okay? You're tuning every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune into blogtalkradio.com/time to talk about it and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. Every Friday night at 11 p.m., we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line hosted by our very own Elder Whitted. That call-in number is 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That's 218-548-6746, code 3333#. That is every Friday night at 11 p.m. So come on, let's pray one for another. We can never have too much prayer in this day and in this time. You know, pray for our unsaved loved ones. Tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Michael with I'm Just Saying. That call-in number is 917-889-2211. That's 917-889-2211. That is every Monday at 3 p.m. You can also tune into blogtalkradio.com/ I Am Just Saying. And you can listen also to each and every segment that Deacon Michael has put out there. I tell you, God is an awesome God. He hears us when we speak. Oh, now, I'm going to give you this one announcement now. So just get your shoes ready, your clothes ready, even get your peoples ready, okay? And come on out tomorrow night at 7 p.m., it's two nights only now. It's Thursday and Friday. I tell you, the 7th and the 8th. Come on out and hear a powerful man of God. You're going to see the 2016 anointed fireworks coming on out. I tell you, and our speaker is Prophet Leandre Wright from Apopka, Florida. Come on out. Hear the word is hosted by our very own Bishop and Apostle Porter of the City of Victory. That is 7 p.m. So come on expecting that God is going to move for you. You need God to move. Come expecting. Come expecting like never before. So you know what? That is tomorrow night. Tomorrow is Thursday. Thursday and Friday, I know. Come on out and just enjoy yourself in the Lord and hear what God is saying for you. Till then, you be blessed and tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. Thank you.
mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying how the story ends,
when I let go,
let's go.